right. Well, let's just sit down then.
Like, I've been getting a lot.
You've been getting a lot of questions?
Yeah.
Bible studies.
Oh, really? What kind of Bible studies do you go to?
Oh, I don't go to any.
Oh.
I just get a lot of people asking me.
Okay. All right. So, how would you define the word imagine?
Imagine. To me, it's like an open road. Like an open road and open opportunity. Like, I can imagine seeing myself like a few, 10 years from now. Like I can see myself like at a good job, probably maybe like a family, a couple kids. But only if I keep myself on the right path. Like keep getting an education.
Yeah.
Keep getting an education. Keep getting help from my family, or I help them. Whoever I need or who needs me, I'll go to.
Okay.
And it also lets me make sure I don't like take the wrong path, like get off trail.
So all of that is encompassed for you in the word imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what, now you mentioned some of the things that you've imagined: wife, kids, good career. What are some of the other things you would attribute to your imagination? What are the things that you've imagined?
Imagine writing my own stories for a change. Inspired by good writers, such as Stephen.
You like to write?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still learning, but yeah, I'm getting there.
Well, we're always learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to write too. So you imagine being a writer. Now, do you like that genre? Do you like writing like Stephen King?
Yeah.
Do you like writing horrors and thrillers?
I enjoy all those books.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever heard of John Lennon?
John Lennon? No.
No? The Beatles?
Oh, yes.
Okay. John Lennon was the head of that group, the Beatles, and he wrote a song some 40 years ago, probably, called Imagine. And it starts like this. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you tried. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. What have you imagined, if anything, about God?
That's a good question.
Yeah, every once in a while I come up with one. And when you hear that term, when you hear that term God, what comes to mind?
Like the creator of the planet and life.
Okay. Now, is that something you've imagined, or is that something you believe?
Probably something I imagine.
So you don't believe that God exists? You only imagine that He does?
I believe that He exists.
Oh, you do?
All that at the same time, I don't know what to believe. Is He real or is He not? It's like a balance question between me. Do I believe in Him or I do not?
And so how do you think you're going to determine that one way or another? Or are you even trying to determine that one way or another?
The only answer I have is time. As time passes, I'll learn more.
And how much time do you think you have?
I don't know.
Because even beyond today, whatever time we think we have is imagined. Right? Because we don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't even know if we have the rest of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We imagine that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. When we imagine things, we put those images together based on incomplete information. We don't know as we ought to know, so we imagine it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? And that's what a lot of people do with God. They may imagine He exists, or they may imagine that He don't, that He doesn't exist. But yet the Bible says that everybody knows that God does exist, but they suppress that truth by their unrighteousness. Because if they accept the reality that God exists, if they stop imagining that He doesn't, then they would be obligated to obey Him. And people just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen to you when you die, Jose? What do you imagine?
Sometimes I imagine that if it's really true, like when you die, do you really get reincarnated as a different person, different being, like start life all over again?
And who would determine that, if that were a reality?
I have to say God. Like if I've done some good stuff in the past, I'm not gonna take a chance at life.
So do you believe heaven exists?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think a person has to do to get there?
Prove he's done. To me, I think he has to prove that he's done some good in the past. Help people, like put people before himself.
Okay. Do you try to do that?
Yes.
How do you go about doing that?
Like if someone, like if one, like example, if my little brother like needs me to help him on the project and I have a project too,
mm-hmm.
like the best thing for me to do is like to help him first. Like I'll put my project aside and help him as long as he needs me.
Okay, that's being other-minded. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Now, do you think so long as your good outweighs the bad, you'll be okay when you die and stand before God? Do you think that's how it works?
Maybe. Like, I know a lot of people have done some bad stuff in the past, but as long as you, as long as you admit all the errors and you're done, and you tried to, like, fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fix everything in your past that you've done wrong.
So how's that going for you?
Going a lot better.
Have you been able to fix everything you've ever done wrong?
Yeah.
You really? How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20? I'm 48. I'm nowhere close to fixing a fraction of all the things that I've done wrong in life. Because in God's eyes, that would account our thoughts as well. That would count the words that come out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You really think you're close to fixing all that?
Maybe.
Yeah? Or is that imagined?
That's imagined.
Okay. All right. Have you ever been in a courtroom, Jose?
Courtroom? Nope.
No? Okay. If you were standing before a judge and you were convicted of breaking the law, and the judge finds you guilty, you admit to breaking the law, and the judge finds you guilty, and the judge asks you, Jose, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, well, Your Honor, I'm going to try to fix up everything I've done wrong. I'm going to try not to do it again. And I've done a lot of good things. I've helped my brother with this project, and I've done other things like that. So I think you ought to just let me go. Is the judge going to let you go?
Nah.
No.
He'll put me away for a few months or years.
Well, yeah, whatever's required by the law, right?
Yeah.
It would be imagined to think that the judge is just going to let you go. But a lot of people imagine that about God. A lot of people believe that if their good outweighs the bad, God's just going to forget about the bad, and he's going to focus on the good and let them into heaven. It's an imagination. And anyone who imagines that he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. The reality is this: when we die and we stand before God, we will give an account for our life, just as a criminal in front of a judge in a courtroom. And God is going to judge us according to his standard, according to his law. Okay? He says it's wrong to lie. He says it's wrong to steal. He says it's wrong to look at the pretty women on campus and have sexual thoughts. He says it's wrong to dishonor our parents, to take his name in vain, to covet, to not be satisfied with what he's given us to. In fact, God's second command is that you'll not make for yourself any idols and bow down to worship them. In a sense, that is imagining God differently than who he is. So have you ever done any of those things?
A few.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Probably a lot more than you. So if you were to die today and stand before God, and he judged you according to that standard, do you think he'd find you innocent or guilty of breaking his law?
I say you find me a bit guilty.
A bit guilty?
Yeah.
Or I mean, you're either guilty or innocent. There isn't like I'm halfway guilty.
I guess I'd be guilty.
So if he found you guilty, Jose, what should he do with you? Heaven or hell? Not what you imagine, not what you want, but what should he do with you?
I guess I deserve to go to hell.
Okay. Does that concern you at all?
A bit.
Yeah? Have you ever thought about it in those terms?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said you've talked to a lot of different religious groups, a lot of people inviting you to Bible studies and that kind of thing. Has anyone told you what God has done so that you might not have to spend eternity in hell?
Yeah.
What?
They read it to me from the Bible.
Yeah, what did they say?
They told me
because there's some strange groups on this campus that carry around Bibles. So, but what did they tell you?
They told me a story about like how to find immortality by a journey, by taking a long journey through water. Travel a long distance.
You know. Really? And they tried to show that to you in the Bible?
They read it to me. I took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it out of the Book of Revelation?
I have no idea.
Okay.
The book was blank.
Yeah. The book was blank?
No, like the cover part was blank.
Oh. So you don't even know if they were reading the Bible?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Oh, you don't know what they were reading? Okay. Well. Yeah, that's imagined. That's imagined. Here's what God did. And this isn't imagined. This is reality. We'll go back to the courtroom. All right, let's say that the judge heard what you had to say. He heard you say you think your good outweighs the bad. He heard you say that you've been helpful to your little brother. He's heard you say that you're going to try to make up for it and never do it again. But he's got to follow the law. None of that matters. The evidence is there. You're guilty. So he says, Jose, it's going to be $1 million fine or the rest of your life in prison. Now, at 20, what are you studying, by the way?
I'm an art major.
Art major? Okay. I'm guessing a 20-year-old art major at CSUN doesn't have $1 million laying around.
No.
Okay. All right, so the judge is going to do what's right. He's got to follow the law, and so he's going to send you to prison for the rest of your life. But before he does that, someone walks into the courtroom, someone you've never met, walks up to the judge's bench, puts $1 million on the judge's bench and says, Your Honor, I've sold everything, I've sacrificed everything, and because I love Jose, I'm going to pay the fine for him. The judge turns to you and says, Jose, I'm going to let you go, not because you're good, because you've imagined that, because you're a lawbreaker, not because you're innocent, you admitted to breaking the law, not because you can pay the fine. I'm going to let you go based on what this other person came in and did for you. You're free. Would that be good news?
It would be good news.
Yeah?
But at the same time, I'd be like surprised that someone gave up everything for me.
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah. What would you think of the person who did that for you?
I'd be thanking him. And I would invite him to stay with me until he gets his life back on track. His or her life back on track.
Okay. What makes you think their life's off track?
Well, like you said, they sold everything they ever had just to save me.
Ah, okay.
And now I have to repay them.
Wow, all right. Interesting way to put it. Well, that's a picture of what God did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, and without sin. Unlike you at the age of 20, unlike me at the age of 48, He never once violated God's law. He couldn't because He was God in the flesh. He lived the perfect life that you and I have already failed to live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve to take upon Himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. As if He went into the courtroom of God's justice and paid our fine. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And what He requires of us, what God requires of us in response, is to repent, to turn from our sin, and to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. It's interesting you mentioned, though, I would take that person in and I would care for them until they got back up on their feet. And I think that's a very noble response. In fact, I've used this courtroom analogy literally hundreds, if not thousands, of times in talking to people, and no one ever has answered like that. It was unique. It was a unique answer. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." In fact, that verse I shared with you, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. That's the first half of the verse. The second half of the verse says, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. If we turn from our sin and put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, we will love God and we will be known by God. And that's what you express. I mean, you express not only appreciation, but an actual love for a person by wanting to now commit your life to them because they committed your life, their life to you. And that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Even though he knew no sin, he took the punishment for sin upon himself on the cross so that those who turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ will not receive the punishment they deserve, which is eternity in hell, but will receive what we don't deserve, which is grace and mercy and everlasting life. Now, there's a lot of religions represented on the campus, including, that the people you talk to, it sounds vaguely familiar of a cult that's here on campus. But every world religion basically says the same thing. Jose, you've got to do X, Y, and Z to earn your way into God's grace, into God's forgiveness, into heaven. The Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You're a convicted criminal. You've already broken God's law. You're already guilty. The only way you're going to receive forgiveness is if God does something for you, not if you do something for him. And that's why God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so that people like you and me can receive forgiveness. But we have to come to him on his terms, not on our own. We can't imagine our way into heaven. We have to come on his terms, and his terms are to repent and believe and put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. You ever heard it put that way before?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah? So what do you think about that?
I can't really say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A lot to take in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, at home.
Yeah? When was the last time you read it?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. Are you familiar with the New Testament? I mean, do you know your way around the New Testament in the Bible? Okay. Let me give you something. I mean, you've got your own, and that's great, but this will be handy. Where is it? Let me give you one of those too. And this way you could read it for yourself. There you go. In fact, let me have that card, and I'll put it in a great place to start. This way you could read it for yourself, see whether or not what I'm telling you is true. The Gospel of John is the best place to start if you're not real familiar with reading the Bible. And you can pound this out in a day, if you decide to. Obviously, I can't make you do it, so... So, you're an art major. First year, second year, third year?
It's my third year.
Third year? What do you plan to do?
I want to learn how to do animation.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? A particular kind?
Not yet. But I was inspired by some of the old Disney movies.
Really?
I grew up watching them.
Yeah?
It kind of got me excited, to draw my own characters like that.
Really? There's a man in my church who teaches up at CalArts in Santa Clarita and worked with Disney Animation for many, many years working on some of those movies. So it's pretty cool to hear some of his stories. So give that some thought, man. There's nothing more important than your soul. You're probably going to hear other people and other stories. My hope for you is that God reveals the truth to you, and that is no longer imagined. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you.
Thanks. All right, buddy. You have a good day.
Thank you.